I'd like to talk about right speech today and how we can bring mindfulness to that and kind of make it into a meditation. So I just attended this retreat up at the retreat center here at Sasanaraka called Insight Dialogue. Their style of meditation that they like to teach is Vipassana. So that's where we get this word insight and insight dialogue. Vipassana is, of course, a very popular, well-known method. And, you know, I understand. That's cool. If I were to name that technique, I'd call it right speech practice, which is, I say, an awesome thing to practice. And I just totally loved this retreat. I got so much out of it. There is meditation, silent meditation, just like any retreat. And then they also have these kind of exercises where you kind of pair up with a partner and sit in chairs. Or you can sit on the floor if you like. And they kind of give you guidance on what topics to speak on, or even how to speak, or how to listen to the other person. And it kind of challenges us to bring more mindfulness to these interactions. It's like you continue meditating, even though there's someone in front of you you're talking to. So they love to pause a lot during their conversations, relax. And it teaches you this lesson, if we're wise anyway, we kind of learn the lesson that if we keep our speech confined to what is happening in the present, that supports our mindfulness. If we just say things like, I can feel the breeze on my skin, okay? Just simple things like that. That's happening in the present. It's cool this morning. The air is cool, you know, just this sort of thing. Simple things. It's so much easier to stay mindful when we don't start straying off talking about things that are not actually there. You know, if we start talking about concepts, we start talking about people who are not there. Maybe we might talk about things like, let's say, politics or economics or the government or, you know, all sorts of more intellectual things. Even though those things are true to some degree, it easily takes us away from our mindfulness. It's very hard to maintain kind of like a peace of heart as soon as we begin speaking this way. At least I sure found it hard. And they have this especially interesting practice later on, which they call trusting emergence. Emergence means like what emerges, what comes out, what spontaneously may happen. That's what emerges. Or they also called it attuning to emergence. Attuning means like kind of listening in or becoming attuned, becoming sensitive, kind of like opening up. Okay, they also have this value of opening up. Open up meaning like, you know, be present to this moment, open up to what's actually happening. Instead of be lost in thoughts, you know. So opening up kind of gets us out of this habit of thinking too much. So yeah, this trusting emergence thing was very interesting where you just kind of allow the other person to be who they are with their own uniqueness. And then our uniqueness also has sort of a place in that conversation. Okay, you talk to several people you never would meet otherwise. Okay, you talk to a wide variety of people. There were some Westerners, there were some Malaysians there. You know, it was quite a mix of different age groups. You meet all sorts of interesting people. And yeah, it's very interesting what would emerge in a conversation if you just let it. Okay, and it invites us to set aside our preconceived sort of thinking, our preconceived agenda, our preconceived, you know, favorite topics of conversation. We just set aside all these preconceived things. We just watch what happens, you know? It's very interesting. And keep our mindfulness. It's still very Buddhist in that, well, we're meditating as we do this. How can you blame it when you're still meditating? You're still mindful. And sometimes you maybe feel anxiety because it's like a weird situation. You know, this is a person you never met before. You don't know what to expect. You don't really know anything about them yet, you know. You don't know where this is really going. But that's part of the experience, to just be okay with that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong saying, yeah, I feel a little anxious. So what? It's just a feeling, and then we're aware of it. And then when we're aware of it, it's so much easier to just let it be. So this was fantastic to practice how to not lose mindfulness all the way through a nice conversation. Maybe even feel peaceful. Even better. So this is fantastic when we can learn this skill. And I would say that if we want to be arahants, or really any stage of enlightenment, sooner or later, we will have to get better at this. This is part of the practice, okay? You do have to talk to people sometimes. And the Buddha does say a whole bunch of times in the suttas, we should be mindful all the time. Whether we are extending a limb or retracting our limb, everything, you know, whether standing, walking, sitting down or lying, okay? It's all the time. So it's also going to be in conversation. I've heard many times from fellow monks and, you know, fellow senior monks when they say, mastering right speech, that's one of the hardest things of all. And it's understandable how, especially in monastic culture, the default is to remain silent. The default is like, don't talk. There is this one time, pretty much, where the Buddha said to the monks, either speak on the Dhamma or remain silent. That teaching gets taken quite seriously here at SBS. The monks don't talk to each other that much. And I agree that that is a good default. That's a safe default. Although I feel just because you get good at being quiet all the time, you're not going to attain Nibbana owing to your skill in silence, okay? That alone won't, that's not going to enlighten you, you know? We do, at the end of the day, have to get good at retaining mindfulness, even when we do need to talk to people. Can we be okay with talking when it's the right time for it? Okay, the right context, etc. So yeah, I'm grateful to the Insight Dialogue people. It's almost like they're teaching the students the ABCs of conversation, you know? Like, you might be sitting there like, well, what? Like, talking's not hard. We do it all the time. Why is this hard, you know? But it is surprisingly challenging to do it mindfully. For those of you who have been on meditation retreats, maybe some of you have meditated deeply and you feel some sort of a blissful thing, you know? Maybe you attained a Brahmavihara or a jhana or some amazing deep state. Okay, so you get this wonderful peace on the meditation retreat. But then when the meditation retreat's over and you go back to your normal life, then it's so easy to lose that peace. And you're like, where did it go? I thought I was an arahant. Like, I guess I must have lost it or something. You know, why is it hard now? You know? Okay, well, it behooves us to practice bringing mindfulness into conversation. And I say, oh, it's totally possible to retain some sort of peace of heart, maybe even a Brahmavihara, while talking to others or listening to others. It's possible. It's totally possible. And there is a skill to it. You know, retaining mindfulness on our own body, perhaps, and maybe awareness of, like, the space. I love to use awareness of space. Another one I like to do is kind of try to see right out to the sides with my eyes, like open up my vision right out to the sides. Okay, they love this word open, to open up. For me, that's part of opening up. But at the same time, you're still paying enough attention to the other person. You're not missing their words. You're not missing their facial expressions. You're not missing their tone of voice. You're not missing their body language. You still give them enough attention to still catch all that, okay? But you don't have to be giving them 100% attention to get that. We would be wise to also have some awareness on ourselves too. So anyway, this is a skill. It can be learned. There's another monk here. We're already making some plans to continue practicing this. He was on the retreat too. We want to continue that practice. And if things go well, they indicated they would like for me to start doing a Zoom class for other monastics who may want to learn this. Both Bhante Viveka from Canada and myself, they felt we might make good instructors just over Zoom to start with. So yeah, I'm really happy about this. Okay, maybe I better conclude here.